teaching on the dialects of the prophet series 6.
I really want to trust God, or I trust God, and I want to believe that we have been able to make serious statements and real truths around the prophets. All right? 7:3:15, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's 16. From a child that has known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, which is true faith in Christ Jesus. From a child, you have known the Holy Scripture, and we said that known means to see properly, right? It means to appreciate it. It means to know the value of something. You find people who if you give some people gold, I mean, pure gold. You know what pure gold is? There's gold, there's panda. No panda. Panda is, it's not gold. It only looks like gold. By the time you put it inside water, it will tell you, I'm not gold. So, if you give some people gold, pure gold, maybe someone like me, really, I will not know. I'll just look at you and say, thank you. And then you'll be expecting a bigger thank you. No, there's thank you, there's thank you so much. I'm just going to say thank you. You gave me gold. I don't even have plans to wear it. Where will I wear it? My ears? My neck? I don't know. But for a lady who probably is fashionable and who knows, who likes all of these things, that's good. You give her gold and she immediately calls her plug. Come and let me test it. I learned that there's a tester, right? And then the moment the tester comes and they say, you know, Nigeria, everything is Omo. If something is good, it's too good, you say Omo. If something is terrible, you say Omo. If something is average, you say Omo. Alright? So after testing the gold, and then you say Omo, you say what? This is whatever carat. What has happened is that you have seen it properly. Now you appreciate it. That is the word known there. The word eido, E-I-D-O in the Greek. It means to appreciate something because you have now seen its value. So Paul says, from a child, you have appreciated it. And what he is doing is, he's giving you how discipleship is done. That is, immediately someone gets born again, you don't feed them crumbs. You feed them pure gold. Amen. You feed them that true perspective of the scriptures. Don't say, you might not understand it now. I'm not saying you start with dialogue prophecy 6 for the person. I'm saying you start with the pureness and the sincerity and the weight of God's word. Don't say, we will get into that. No, start well. And that's why I'm not a fan of, even in children's church, you don't teach children draw an arc. No, teach them what the arc is about. Don't say draw the rainbow. Teach them what the rainbow is about, the faithful God. Is it making sense? You know, you don't do that to children. That Bible tells me so. What's that? Jesus loves the little children. He doesn't love the children alone. He loves the adults too. You let them know that. Hallelujah. You know, the brain will not carry. Who told you that? Who told you that? I've heard a 7-year-old preach the gospel accurately before. Accurately, with Greek words. He wants your child to be like that, right? I mean, accurately. And you know, Moses is a prophet. Moses will not be saying this. Moses, 7. And Romans started preaching at 7. So don't say, that's the devil talking. Don't say, hey, we don't understand. Let's just say, oh yeah, draw Jesus and his disciples. Then the guy starts to draw. And he says, okay, this is Jesus. Is this Jesus? Can this one die? Hallelujah. From spiritual infancy, breakfast. From a child, of course, not physical child. A 50-year-old, you can call it a 50-year-old from a child. Alright? He's talking about from when you got saved. From when you got born again. You have been fed with pure gold. You have known the Holy Scripture. You have seen it properly for what it is. And so when you see it properly for what it is, what it makes you see, do, what it brings out of you is what? Sophizo. It makes you wise. It makes you smart. It makes you crafty. It makes you skillful. He said, it makes you wise unto salvation. So when we see it as pure gold, when we see it for what it is, what do we bring out? The skillfulness. The mastery of salvation. And if you've been around for a while, you will see that the way we study, you will just start seeing God in those pages. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You start seeing God and say, oh, this wall, oh, this person, oh, this ark, oh, the rainbow, the this. That's what properly seeing it. So we said at the beginning of this series, that what Paul is telling Timothy is that Genesis to Malachi will be a textbook of salvation through faith in Christ. Don't start looking for something else in there. I told you before that if someone brings a chemistry textbook to you, you're holding chemistry textbook, and the person comes and says, tell me about demand and supply from page. Open any page and tell me demand and supply. You're going to be demanding what? Chemicals? What's been demanded? I said you want to talk about the affinity of, is it electron? Any engineer here? Any true engineer here apart from Broadwell? True engineer, is there electron affinity or which one has affinity for? Electron has affinity. Oh yeah, you're an engineer. Electron has affinity for whatever, sir. I said you can't be talking about demand and supply in a chemistry textbook. I'll be paying. You know about demand and supply, you don't know? Hope you pass your exams. You know? So again, it's a chemistry textbook, you can't find demand and supply. Or you're holding a Yoruba textbook and someone says, tell me about helium. You say, what the heck is helium? Yoruba owe Ogboju Odeni Nugborumole. That's what is inside this place. Hallelujah. Because books that have a bias do not answer every question. Same with the Bible. It's a book with a bias. It already tells you this book serves salvation through faith in Christ. That means the details are the details of salvation. The characters are the characters of salvation. Does that make sense? It says salvation through faith in Christ. And we said that means we must read it carefully. We must bring out the true purpose of the book from the multiple pages. And we started looking at Genesis. We said by saying salvation through faith, we said it brings out a particular character that is too important for us to dismiss. The word salvation means there will be a savior. Because you can't have salvation without a savior. Someone has got to do the salvation. You've got to do the saving. So we said by saying salvation through faith, which is the word soteria, right? Salvation, soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. S-O-T-E-R-I-A, soteria, which is, you find in that word the sota, that's the savior, S-O-T-E-R. So by adding the soteria, which is salvation, you must add the sota. Just like I said, you can have teaching without, even if the student is a student and teaching another student. The moment he is teaching, he becomes the teacher. So you can have teaching without the teacher. You can have salvation without the savior. And by using, don't forget, we started this at the back of Series 5. And remember Series 5, we did something. No, that was not here. That sounds like a you issue. Alright, in Series 5 we did something. We said, by using salvation through faith in Christ, we said Paul was doing a for all nations, right? We said he was catering for all nations by mentioning salvation and mentioning Christ. Because the Jews will be the one that will acknowledge that Christ factor. A Gentile does not know who the Christ is. The Christ is a Jewish promise. Someone who is anointed, the Messiah King, is going to rule. He's going to establish his own kingdom. He's the anointed of God. They knew that. The Roman guy doesn't know that. Pilate doesn't know that. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So, how is Paul going to cater for the nations who don't have the promise, in quotes, who don't have the promise of the Christ? He's not going to mention the sota. So, by saying salvation, then they fold their hands and they're saying, wheezy. Because by mentioning the sota, you are mentioning a man who will conquer. A man who is mighty in battle. Someone who has defeated many enemies. That is the soter. And you see that this is the fashion of every message of the gospel. Every message of the gospel actually caters for both audiences. In the witness of the gospel, the eyewitness account, what we call the four gospels, you discover that Mark spoke to Gentiles, while Matthew spoke to the Jews. That's why you see Matthew say, the kingdom of God. Mark will say, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew will call him the Son of God. You see, not like John, call him the Son of Man, to bring out the humanity. Because they are going to all focus and say, all nations must be reached. He's not going to just, the witness is not going to skew towards the Jews. He's not going to skew towards the Gentiles. It must be the message of the Jesus of Galilee. Does that make sense? When I say Jesus of Galilee, that makes terrible sense, yeah? Come on, that should drive home a lot of points. Alright. But I said, Jesus of Galilee, that's the Jesus of all nations. Thank you. Because Galilee is a confluence. Galilee is a place where you have multiple cultures. We thought that before. So, he mentions the soter. And he says, the soter who will bring salvation through faith in a man. There will be the soter. Soteria epistio en Christos Jesus. Salvation through faith in Christ. And the moment a Greek or a Gentile hears this, he's asking a question. Then who is this person? If it's not Pilate, if it's not Herodias, if it's not our kings, if it's not our warriors, who is this man that the prophets wrote about that will be unvanquished? That will be never be defeated. So he brings in a soter. And we said that soter will be found in the message of the prophets. Don't forget, that made you wise. The Holy Scripture is talking about Genesis to Malachi. You have seen properly the Holy Scripture. So that means whatever he's talking about, whatever character, whatever element he's talking about, will be found in the Holy Scriptures. And that brings work for the Bible students. Because you now have the Holy Scriptures. We have the benefit of Einstein. I said in this series that we thank God for what we call the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, and what we call the New. Because without the New, we said the Old will be what? Inconclusive. Why? Because the Old kept talking about a man to come. Right? Of course, the Old, because of this teaching, I'm just going to use Old and New. Right? This is like 200 times I'm saying it. Alright, so what we have, Genesis to Malachi, we said it will be inconclusive because they kept talking about someone to come. They kept talking about what he will do. They kept talking about he would defeat death, but we never saw it. We saw it in actions. We saw it in, of course, because we have now seen properly, right? We saw it in motions. We saw it in events. We saw it in words, but we didn't see the man. Yes, he was there. Then, we said, without the Genesis to Malachi, the New will be what? Incoherent. It will be like you are blabbing. It will be like a child talking. Have you heard a child talk before? And I now went there. What are you saying now? Then he goes, I want to eat. No, what were you saying before? He has forgotten. It will sound, that's exactly how the New will sound without the prophets. Because Jesus comes and says, Solomon in all his glory is arrayed. He's not arrayed like one of these. And you ask, who is Solomon? Is he one of the Pharisees? He's not. He is a prophet. This book of Isaiah is fulfilled in your ears. The book of Isaiah. What is that? So can you see that the New will be incoherent? It will not make perfect sense without Genesis to Malachi. I don't get what I just said now. Okay. So we said he mentions the soter, and we will find the soter in the words of the prophet. We'll find it in their writings, we'll find it in their utterances. And we said the background we have to put in mind will be that this man will be unconquered. Something like that. He will never be defeated. Rather, what he will do is that he will save. He will save. So we began to look at the I'm trying to wrap up and then close the series. We said, we now began to look at the Hebrew connotation for the sota, because sota is Greek. So if you're going to look at it from the words of the prophets don't have Greek. They spoke Aramaic, some Arabic, maybe in the later, Aramaic, Hebrew, right? Right? And maybe some of the Semitic languages. And then we began to look at the Hebrew version for the sota, and we said it's the word Yashar. You remember? Come on, you remember? Alright. Now, if you are going to summarize the teaching, this is how to go about it. Is that clear? You should be able to do this. One day we are going to have that. Was the last track of every series. Let's call someone. Without notes. See how I'm doing. Or maybe you use your notes, because we said the notes is the proper way, right? Remember? Pastor, Romans. Rehearse in the years of Joshua. I want to rehearse my own. You know, so, but you should be able to. If you have heard something so much, you should be able to express it. Except you don't understand. I believe you do. So we said, we began to look at the Yashar. And we said, the Yashar is the Savior. We looked at the Yashar as a noun and as a verb. You remember? We said, it can mean to save, it also means the Savior. And we saw the usages of both. Alright, good. Then we said, sometimes you have a word that is also expressed by another word. I'll give you an example. I'm trying to find one. For example, you see what Cain said in Genesis 4. Where he said, God has cursed him. And then he explains the curse as God has hid his face. The same word, right? The same thing, different words. The same goal. God has hid his face, God has cursed him. The same thing, just different words. And we began to look at the synonym of Yasha. And we look at it from the beginning, because we don't have Yasha in Genesis. In the beginning. You know, Genesis has a beginning and Genesis has, we've thought that before, right? The beginning will be Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Then you have Genesis. Why beginning? Because those stories are too integral. They are more important than Reuben went to Egypt. They are famine. No, you observe that Genesis 1, 2, 3 don't sound like that. They sound like spiritual accounts. Pure spiritual accounts. God was walking in the garden. Nobody saw that. Come on. That's a spiritual account. That makes sense? Come on, does that make sense? So that's when you were here. From the beginning, it was not so. That's not talking about Genesis 50. That's talking about Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4. So we began to look at that beginning, and we saw that there's no Yasha. Rather, the same way there's no devil. So rather, what Moses will use to typify the Savior, he will call him an helpmeet. The Ezaha. The Ezra, which is a word that, of course, postmodern hermeneutic, people have abused it. People have abused it because he's not good for a man to be alone. He's going to find a wife. Which is good, it's not bad. You find yourself something. He's not good for a woman to be alone. He's not just man, he's woman too. Calm down. The man and the woman are one. It's the right there in Genesis. They will become one. They are one. He wrote it so that you will not have to blame Eve. Eve is Adam. Adam is Eve. It's a spiritual account. Stop seeing as two people. By the time the epistle we talk about it, it says man's sin. By one man's sin. It is by Eve, it is by Adam, one man. Because Eve was taken from Adam. Does that make sense? So you must see spiritual accounts differently from physical. And I trust God that in the coming years, not close to a decade, but the Spirit of God, who have the proper teaching of Genesis across different churches. Because we need to understand this. How can you say he ate his tithe? Adam ate his tithe. And that's why God said he will die. But God called that tree evil. His tithe evil. No. I'm telling you that one. Tithe is not. Some cryptocurrency people say, they're not meant to pay tithe. I'm not saying you go pay tithe. We don't collect that one yet. But you can't call it evil. About. Except your pastor is evil. Or your church is evil. Then paying it will be evil. Amen. In Nigeria, you are worshiping Church of Satan. They call that once for Satan, something like that. You cannot misinterpret that Genesis. God said it's not good for man to be alone. We look at that word alone. Right? We said, after looking at it, it's not good for him to be stranded, to be helpless. And God said that immediately after he showed him the enemy. The day you eat of it, death waits at your door. And we said, there is no need for the helper until what? When you see the helper, what's around? Eh? There's danger, there's an enemy around. The helper doesn't just show, he shows because there is danger. He is the very present help in the time of need. So when there is danger, you see the helper come forth. You see the helper show up. And God told Adam, he said, you know what? You have to believe. You have to eat of the tree of life. We have seen eating and drinking so far in this series, right? Even beyond this series. Eating and drinking as motions of what? Faith or unbelief. So, and we thought that already from John 6, Jesus told them, I am the true bread of life. Eat of me. Eat of me doesn't mean you are going to start biting Jesus. No, it means you are going to believe him. Is it making sense? This is my blood, drink it. That is faith. Faith in his work. Faith in what he's going to do. Alright, so God told Adam the same thing. Eat of the tree of life. Tree of life, book of life, living water, bread of life. One and the same person. Eh? One and the same person. I've taught it before, book of life. Your name in the book of life. Are you in Christ? You think there will be a giant book? Marufu, Imisi, Abubakar. Then 555 people now come. And I say, you're not going to. How are we not the one that believe like this? Because we have plenty more room. I say, you don't look like you believe. Yeah, me. You and I believe things. That's how you scope. No. Is your name in the book of life, something like that? Have you believed the gospel? Are you in Christ? Makes sense. There's nothing like book that now has. How can a book have life? You don't think a lot. Tree of life. There's no tree that has life. It has to be a person. Those are all you got figures of speech. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? We taught this before. Come on. You always go and listen to all the prophets' teachings. And so we try to look at God's offer of help. So God said, so that man will not be helpless. There's an enemy already. I will make, or I will be unto him, I will fit for him, which is what that's our, we look at that, ASAW, right? Remember, I will be unto him, I will fit for him, and help me. The word Ezer in the Greek, E-Z-E-R, Z for zebra, E-Z-E-R, I will fit for him and help me. That's not husband, that's not wife, that is God himself. We began to look at that word Ezer over and over again throughout Genesis, Exodus, and we saw that till Hosea, I think Hosea was our last reference. Till Hosea, was it ever used for a man? No. Everywhere it was used, God was in the picture. In fact, Hosea said it boldly. In Hosea 13, verse 8, he said, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is your Ezer, is your helpmeet. Moses in Exodus 18, he calls his son Eliezer. Eliezer, the Lord my God is my helpmeet. So the helpmeet of Genesis is God's provision for salvation. The Yasha, the one who is going to save from danger. The one who is going to save from the enemy. Again, who is the enemy in Genesis? Sin and death. So we've looked through the motions of the Yasha. He will save. He will rescue. And we began to now look at our motif and our real study for this particular series, where we are looking at the war. Because we've now seen this help me step in for Israel, where they go to war, and they don't win wars because of their military power. They win wars because of God. We've read it over and over again. And God said, Israel, go. I've gone before you. I will make the valleys straight. I will exalt the valleys. I will make the mountains bow before you. The mountains will melt like wax. And you're wondering, why Israel? And of course, if you have been following that prophet, Israel will be a simple thing. Right? Israel will represent God's nation on the earth. God's own people.
Hallelujah. That'll be the church.
Right? Right? That'll be the church. Israel will be God's chosen nation. Who has his message? Who bears his prophet? But most importantly in the prophet, who has the seed? So, we began to look at why does God support them? And we said, it's really not about Israel. We found out that it's not about Israel, right? Is it about Abraham? No, we found out it's not about Abraham. So we began to trace it. And we traced it back to Genesis 12, where God made a definite statement when he called out Abraham from his father's land into a strange country. He said, into a land I will show you. And God told him, there is a nation that will come out of thee. In a seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In your seed, in you. And we began to look at the motions. And God said, I will bless those who bless you. And I curse them. Genesis 12:3. And I curse them those who curse you. And that really formed almost like a baseline for our thinking. Tonight, put on the thinking caps. So it formed a baseline for our thinking. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And we saw that in the war. Everyone who opposed Israel, most times, they fall on the sword. But we saw that it wasn't really about Israel. Because even Israel itself suffered. We saw that it wasn't about Abraham. Because the seed of Abraham too suffered. Don't forget, the one you called Esau is the seed of Abraham. Yes or yes? Yes. Esau will be the grandson of Abraham. Amalekite will be Amalekites are the grandson of Esau. And the first nation that God will show is Shege. Shege is not a Greek word. Shege, what is Shege? Shege is a verb. Shege means, what is Shege in English? Pepe. What's, I can't say Pepe. You know, the Africans can have their own colloquial, their own slang. Yeah, I will show you Pepe. A white man will bring out Pepe and chill. This is Pepe. I've shown you my Pepe when I show you my own. What's Shege? Suffering. Suffering. No. Shege. Okay, let me try. The first nation who will experience that Genesis 12:3, I'll curse those who curse you. The first nation will be the Amalekites. They attacked Israel immediately they came out of Egypt. Who are you? Did you not hear that the sea parted for them? So, Israel came out of Egypt. Before they came out, something happened. Moses, who God has called, and said, go and bring my people out of the land of Egypt into a land I'll show them. Almost, of course, the exact same thing God told Abraham. Then Moses goes to Pharaoh. God said, release these guys. Pharaoh said, which guys? If you are talking about the manual labor we have, I'm all for United Nations and all of that, but we are not giving any nation our labor, our workforce. Moses said, I'm not begging, I'm commanding you. Pharaoh said, who are you again? I'm Moses, the servant of God. He said, what is the God's name? Yeah, we have 10. You have one God. We have 10. I can buy more gods tomorrow. He said, I am. He said, I'm what? I am that I am. You're a clown. Yeah, Moses said, I will show you I'm not a clown. And drop the staff. The staff became a serpent. Pharaoh did. Pharaoh said, Limao. Serpent from staff. Say, bring the interns. The intern magicians. They call the interns. He said, if your rod does not become a serpent here, you are dead. They casted their own spell. Their rod became a serpent. Then we begin to see the genesis of the victory. Most of these serpents swallowed. That is a message. So we began to see it. The serpent swallowed the other serpent. Pharaoh said, it doesn't mean anything if only we had bigger rods. Then Moses came again. Maybe after 3 days. Let these people go. Pharaoh said, you don't get tired, do you? Then he did something else. Water became blood. The magicians tried to revive it back, turn blood back to water. It did not happen. Then he went to meet Moses. He said, You know what? This time around, you show yourself. Your magic. We'll get there. My magicians are learning. Can you hold a master class on this? Moses, do you think I'm joking here? The God of Israel. Say, don't shout. We will go tomorrow. We are working their papers. Moses, they don't need papers. Let them go today. As soon as they made ready to go, Pharaoh said, lock the gates. We have water now. Then Moses said, you are coming. You, this man. Then locusts in the land. Then the astrologer, everybody said, it's a lie. We are in the season. It's the season for locusts. Even we are not the only ones. Even our neighboring in Ghana. As you mentioned, huh? Even our neighboring country. Locals, they have locals in some states, so it's not about us. The season will pass and all that. When after like some days, when locals were everywhere, Pharaoh said, they are going tomorrow. First thing tomorrow morning, the embassy opens. Moses said, better. As they made you and they packed their load, Pharaoh said, block the gates. Locals have gone. It's not easy for locals to come back like that. There's things happen. Till the firstborns of Egypt died. Then Pharaoh said, you know what? Let them go. He gave them gold. He gave them everything. And as soon as they set out and they were out of Egypt, Pharaoh said, you know what? We've got the army. We've got everything. Then he took his chariot. And they went there. They went. You're enjoying my story. I should record all these stories one day. So they went after Israel. And said, we're going to kill them. Especially that Moses, that one that is proving, is showing himself. Then the children of Israel saw them at the back. That's not too scary if you can move forward. Right? But they looked forward and they saw the sea. Where do you run to? Somewhere between Pharaoh and the Blue Sea. Then they said, locking Moses. They didn't shout. They said, locking. You. So they said, locking. You should have left us helpless in Egypt. We look at that word, right? Come on. You should have left us alone in Egypt. You should have left us helpless. Let us be serving them. Then Pharaoh said, hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. Hold that one somewhere. The Lord will fight for you. Then he looked at them and said, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. Amen. And so we began to look at the beginning of the victories. And we said, the reason why Israel will win over the Philistines, over the Amalekites, over the Syrians, over the people of Seba, will be because of the seed. The seed of God, the promise of God is going to come from that nation. That promise of God is going to save both the Philistines, is going to save both the Amalekites, is saving the Egyptians today. Amen. That promise is in Israel. And so God is going to preserve his promise to the people who will believe. So we said, faith is the bias. Faith is the divider. So we began to look at, were there people, listen very well, we said, were there people who are not Israelites, who also had the advantage of God backing them? We saw a typical example in Rahab. In Rahab, we looked at Joshua chapter 2. And we saw that Rahab, even though she was a Canaanite, a cursed nation. We looked at that again in the course of this series. So, we looked at, even though she was a Canaanite, she was blessed. So we said, that means the blessing is not about where you are from. The blessing is about who you are for. The blessing is, are you for the seed or against the seed? The Amalekite rose up against the seed. Esau is against the seed. So I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. The blessing, we said, is not material wealth. The blessing is not material prosperity. Same with the blessing of Abraham. Abraham blessed his man. It's not material prosperity. It's not material wealth. What is the blessing of Abraham? The presence of God. What is the curse? The absence of God. You have settled that. The curse is what Cain said in Genesis 4. Your face is hid from me. Your face is hid from me. So I'll curse them that curse you. I will hide my face from those who belittle, those who despise the seed. So faith is the divider. You learn something? So when you look at the wars, the battleship, the Bayat, it's all about, not all about Israel, not about Abraham, but about the seed. What will the seed do? It will be the Ezah. It will be the Yasha, according to Genesis 3. Genesis 3:15.
I should not be doing that.
On Genesis 3, where God made a promise after man's fall that the seed of the woman will destroy the serpent. So there is a war from the beginning. There are two ends, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. So, God's promise of that seed is what is preserved along the years till the coming of Christ. And I told you that's why we have the genealogies. The genealogy is not just so that you can keep record of how many people are on the earth. No. The genealogy is so that you can keep track of the seed. Is it making sense? So, God told Abraham, and he started looking at Abraham. Oh, he's going to be in Abraham. And he started keeping track of Abraham's seed. And we saw how the blessing was passed from generation to generation. We have seen that, Abi. We saw how it was passed to Sarah. We saw how it was passed to Rebecca, Abi. Where Rebecca was called the blessed of God, the mother of millions, mother of nations. So it wasn't about Sarah, it wasn't about Rebecca, it was about that seed, that lineage. Is it making sense? At the moment Rahab came to the picture, you know what? It actually left Abraham and came to Rahab. And it continued again. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Come on, are you getting it? Ruth. Ruth and Boaz. A story for another day. And so, we began to look at the genealogy of the seed. So we said, the seed is meant to be the Yasha. But when they did not see him physically, what did they do? They now demanded. They demanded someone who will stand for them. So Israel said, we want a king. Samuel said, why? He said, we want a king that will lead us to war. Again, Samuel said, but that is God. God is your king. He said, we want a physical one. Let us be seeing him. So, Samuel anointed Saul. Look at that word, anointed. So, why were kings anointed? Again, to just for show, to show the Messiah. Because he is the anointed one. The Christ is the anointed one. Kings were just anointed so that they can. Almost like an example. Almost like an example. Oh, this is how the Messiah is going to be. He's going to be your king. The anointed king. So, he puts Saul. Says, see your anointed king. Oh, you know what? It's not about Saul. It's not about that oil. The moment Saul opposed the seed, Samuel said, the kingdom is taken away from this one. And then, shift. Then he gave it to another. David, the son of Jesse. The son of Jesse. And David never lost a war. He never lost a war. Almost the perfect example of the Sota. The man who will never be defeated. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Was David opposed? Yes. By who? Saul. First. So again, you repeat that Genesis analogy. The seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. Is it making sense? So you keep seeing that double representation over the ages. And so we began to look at the war. And we said, even Israel lost war when God did not sanction it. Because they were not winning because of their military power. They were winning because God said, these people, this nation will not allow you to get to the land. So we said, the land was in view, and when the land was gone, what was in view? The seed. There must always be a promise. So the promise is the deal, is the real deal. So every nation that opposed them getting to the land that God promised, that nation will be cleared. The nation that allowed them, God did not do anything to them. He didn't capture every nation for them. No. If the nation allowed them, then they go. If the nation opposes, like Egypt, then you see the curse. What will be the curse again? God's face will be Eden. And when God's face is Eden, we look at that. Because in him was life in Genesis. John 1:4. If life was in him, then when his face is Eden, death comes to the picture. We've explained this very well in explaining God in Christ. That death is the absence of life. And so in the face of God is the life. Is the light and life of Genesis. Now, if God's face is Eden, then death comes to fall. And we saw that in nations that cursed and despised the seas. Are you here? So, from last time out, so we said salvation is victory over the enemy. Victory over the enemy. When you are on the side of the sea, we saw that God is on your side. And that's exactly what the soldier came to show. So we said when Jesus came, he showed this. I don't know if you remember. That's where we stopped. So Jesus had physical demonstrations of that victory. Of that victory. We said in the healing of the sick, that was Jesus exercising dominion over darkness. That was his dominion over the works of the devil. He healed the sick because God was with him. Remember? Is that not what Peter said? He said, he healed the sick for God was with him. Does that look like you are translating Israel again? Eh? Almost like he won the war for God was with him. So again, in the healing of the sick, that is Jesus' demonstration of that battleship. And that when God is involved, darkness will cave. Darkness will come down. So we said, in the healing of the sick, of course, the opening of the eyes of the blind, on stopping of deaf ears, opening of the dumb's mouth, we said, we see the victory. In the casting of demons, we saw the victory of God. In the casting of demons, we saw the victory of God. Amen. We saw that Jesus said, if I by the devil's cast out demons, then the devil is working against himself. He said, but if I by the finger of God, if I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is come to you. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is in the casting out of demons. What's he saying? He's saying, just like Israel, that God's kingdom, that God's place, God's country is when demons are cast out. And we saw that in Luke 10. Look at Luke 10. You learning something? In Luke 10, he sent 70 laborers to preach. And in verse 17, when the 70 returned, they returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject to us through your name. Again, in the preaching of the gospel, we said, is that exercising the soldier's victory? Come on. Yeah. We'll get there. The 70 returned again with joy and said, even the devils were subject to us through your name. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven again. This is a wrong mashup. And some have said it means that Jesus was seeing Satan fall or something like that. That supports the fact that Satan fell from heaven. Whatever that means. You think heaven is up there, hell is down there. No. Heaven is spiritual reality. Yeah? So when he says, I see it doesn't have geographical location, something like that. Right. It's not up, it's not there. I see Satan fall like lightning from heaven. No. We rearranged that last week. I have done that before, not just last week. The word lightning is called astrape. Oftentimes, when it's used, it's used to for what gives you direction. Astrape, A-S-T-R-A-P-E. What gives you light. Sometimes we use for physical lightning too. But observe, why is lightning used? Because lightning is what gives a face to thunder. Now, you don't see thunder, you hear thunder. Have you seen thunder before? You know, you don't see thunder. Only village Yoruba people. Ah! But Mori thunder, eh? You can't see thunder. Amen. You don't see thunder. Lightning is what gives a face to it. So lightning will be almost like a demonstration of what is done. A demonstration of what is already done. Thunder has already sounded. But then you see, and you say, yeah. So lightning is what gives a face to thunder. Is it making sense? So Jesus says, as lightning from heaven. I see Satan fall. As lightning, I see Satan fall.
That's the proper way to read it.
As lightning from heaven. That is, heaven is not heaven. What you see heaven is sky. Let's put sky. As lightning in the sky.
Does that make sense now?
As lightning in the sky, I see Satan fall. That is, what you just did in casting out demons, what you just did has given a face to the defeat of the devil. Does that make sense? He has been defeated. But if we have not seen it before, we now see it in what he just did. How do you get what he just said now? You get it? Alright? Satan is defeated. In the incarnation already, the fact that God became a man is already an advantage on man's side. God has sided with man. The seed is here now. The slaughter, it will never be defeated. Victory is his life. Victory is in his blood. He's already with man. Then they are casting out demons. Then Jesus says, you know what? He's already defeated. But what you have just done now, this is a feast. What you have just done now is a physical demonstration. Is a physical seal that he has been defeated. Is it making sense? Like lightning gives face to thunder. So as lightning in the sky, that will give a face to it, that will reveal what is happening, I see Satan fall from what you say. So the casting of demons, the raising of the dead, on stopping deaf ears, all of these gifts of the Spirit that Jesus says will follow everybody that believes. Say it follows me. Oh, come on, say it follows me. I've got the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed. And I'm not a coward. I am bold to heal the sick. And I will heal the sick. Jesus. So, as lightning in the sky, the casting of demons gives a face to the already known defeat of the devil. He's defeated. So, we can have physical demonstrations. So Jesus did all of that to show his victory. Have we looked at Psalm 22 in this teaching? Eh? He's done. Okay. Yeah. I spoke about the Amalekites the other time. You find that in Deuteronomy 25:18. Deuteronomy 25. And Exodus 17. You find their history in Genesis 36. So you find. It's in Deuteronomy 25, Exodus 17. And you find their history, where they came from. The Amalekites are actually Esau's grandson. In Genesis 36, of course, when you mention Esau, you already have crossed over to where the seed is not there, eh? Where the blessing is not. Eh? Because Jacob received the blessing, Esau did not. Abi? And Esau despised the seed. Okay. So we said, the first enemy is sin and death. The last enemy that will be destroyed, we looked at that also last time, is who? Death. Right? But in between, we see the physical demonstrations of that helper. Jesus healed the sick, he raised the dead, he brought hope to many to show his help. And that's salvation. And we said, true Christianity will now be a fight. True Christianity will be a fight. So last time out, we looked at how that in the preaching of the gospel, and I want you to listen to me with your life. In the preaching of the gospel, we said it is a fight. It is a fight. Now I'm a very good fan of history. I think I am. And one of the mistakes, was it the Second World War? But I know it was one of the great kings of England. And he said one of the great mistakes they made is that there was a war that they took as little. That he felt the enemy, you have casual war, you have main war. When someone has made mad and said they will destroy and everything, you know, that's the main war you prepare. He said, but this was a casual war. They felt like these guys are not serious. So they just went light. He said, you don't belittle a war. Just put that somewhere. You don't belittle a war.
So we said in the preaching of the gospel, we said that itself is a fight. It's a fight. And we look at 2 Corinthians 10. So turn your Bibles there. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now this is a man with no, he doesn't have any physical weapon on him, but he's talking about war. He said, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. Can we read verse 5 together? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. This is done in the preaching of the gospel. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says, when you are preaching, what you are doing is you are casting down strong. You are bringing, pulling down strongholds. You are pulling down strongholds. You are casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you are pulling it down. But you, what are you saying? You're just saying, you saw Jesus died for sin. And in him is forgiveness. And every man who believes that God is spirit, you are now a child of God. You're just doing your own. Then Paul is telling you, that is a war. You are fighting. And I've said it over and over again. The moment you take the gospel somewhere, you have declared war. You have declared a fight. There is already a war going on. Whether you like it or not, me, I don't, Pastor, me, I don't take war anywhere. Or, me, I just want to preach. It's a fight. It's a fight. The preaching of the gospel itself, Jesus calls, he said, I am not come to bring, he said, it is sword. I have come to bring a sword. He said, the sword will, it will put the mother against the daughter, the father against the son. That is the gospel. It's a fight. It's a fight. So the preaching of the gospel itself is a fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to turn there. You with me tonight? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me, the same commit unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he's talking about ministry. Ministry of preaching and teaching. Then he says, endure hardness, verse 3. As a what? As a good soldier of no man that wars. From where to where? You are talking about commit to faithful men. You are talking about preaching and teaching. Then he says, no man that wars entangles himself with the things of this world. So it is a war. It is a fight. It is a what? A fight. No man that wars entangles himself with the things of this world. So being a preacher of the gospel itself is a war. Thank you, Jesus. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So there is a fight to fight. Paul calls it the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. In verse 10, he first starts with, the love of money is the root of all evil, which wise some coveted after. They have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see that in this age. But you, man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen. So, you cannot call yourself a true Christian and not recognize that you are in a fight. And principally, there are three things you are going to fight. Don't forget where we're coming from. The sota is a fighter. That's where we're coming from, right? Abi. We saw him with Israel. What did he do? He won battles. Thank you, Jesus. He won battles. And if Paul would tell us, work out your salvation, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And your salvation that we're talking about is fight. That means your daily Christian life is a fight. of course, you know where we are coming from. So the soteria is a fight. Abi, the sota came with a sword. The sota came to battle. And if that our salvation is gotten, we look at what Jesus said in Mark 3. Abi, no man takes the good, the spoils of a mighty man, except he first going to his house. And you bind him. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. That's how salvation was gotten. We saw how Jesus did it last week. Was it last week? Yeah. Psalm 22. That's why I asked that. We've done Psalm 22. We read from Psalm 22 to Psalm 24. We saw how the seed of the serpent came in. The bulls of Bashan, they surrounded me. My bones are out of joint. I can feel my heart melt. Abi? Then the helper comes in. He is my shepherd. Then the next thing we'll see, lift up your head to your gates. That's victory. Believe every everlasting. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Which battle? Which battle? Because we were looking at, these were not the words of David. There was never a time that David's hands were pierced. There was never a time that David was pierced with a spear. There was never a time his blood was out, his bones were out of joint. Never happened to David. There was never a time nobody dared. Hallelujah. No, there are some battles that nobody would dare you. Nobody dare. You've heard what he did to Goliath. You don't move near him. But David said that about Christ as a prophet. He spoke by inspiration of the happenings, the occasions, the experiences of the Messiah. His bones are out of joint. But you know what we end it? Lift up your heads, or you get. So we saw that's how salvation was birthed. And if we are going to work out our salvation, it means every time we are going to have to go against it. Amen. We are going to have to bring out a sword. We are going to have to bring out a sword. Paul kept mentioning. He did not just say you are a good soldier of Christ. He did not just say, lay hold on to eternal life. Be a good soldier. I fought a good fight. He also told you the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We've read that. He also told you, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. In our sense, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can fight. In this generation, we have fightlessness. And that's why we have coldness. That's why we have apathy. People who profess Christians so that they can just be buried in a Christian way. They are Christians because they married in church. And the clergy was saying, you take this one lawfully. I said, that's not how to be Christian. It's a fight. Hallelujah. The prophet said, he has trained my hands to battle. So how do you work out your salvation? You do what he did. You fight. You kill. Amen. You kill. Don't forget, we read last time. By faith, these guys stopped the mouth of lions. Abi? They subdued nations. Hebrews 11:34, right? By faith, they subdued nations. They stopped the mouth of lions. They keep by faith. That you now take that to your own Christian living. By faith, you subdue nations. By faith, you stop the mouth of lions. Is it making sense? Christianity is not glory. No. That glory is a shout after a fight. Don't just shout glory, you fight. Hallelujah. You must every time realize you're on the battlefield. And woe unto the man who is on the battlefield and is on Instagram. Hallelujah. He's on the battlefield. And he's the president. He's taking himself at war. The scriptures kept telling us this is a fight. Hallelujah. So if we say salvation is that the helper came to our rescue and destroyed the enemy, then what we ought to do is to work out our salvation. It means that we'll take the place of the sota and we will destroy the enemy. Every time, with every opportunity, in the preaching of the gospel, we destroy the enemy. We explained that already. It's not casual. It's not an ordinary task. It's a fight. And the funny thing, listen very well, is that a lot of people who go to that fight, the enemy has so much convinced them that now they eat on the table of the enemy. You went to fight. And you get it. It's a preaching. It's not that serious. So in our own church, what we just do is that we just share cabin and we share chicken. And unbelievers come in a fight.
The devil is fighting for a life. You are going for the same life. And you think chicken and chips. And the person is saved. You've got to ask yourself, is this a fight? I want a fight. Amen. Hallelujah. On that campus, it's a fight. It's not going to come ordinary. Because you have an unseen enemy that doesn't sleep. There are three things you fight against. Hallelujah. You fight against the world. Against the subtle influence that we have in this age. Whatever age you are listening to me from. You fight against the world. Hallelujah. James already told you. He said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Is that a war term? Yes. He said, the moment you say you are the friend of the world, you have said, God is my enemy. God is my opponent. And you can't win. We have believers who want to, part-time Christian. Part-time Christian. You don't want to be a Christian like that. You just want to, I want to be, I'm a Christian, no. I go to church, but when there are just some things, I'm not a extremist. Shut up. You might not be an extremist, but you're a stupid person. You are doing exactly what Jehoshaphat did that day. You are wearing the garments of the one they want to kill. When you go to war, you put on what God asked you to put on. Are you with me tonight? It's a fight. It's a war. You fight against the world. You refuse the influence of this age. The battle is daily. James chapter 4. Verse 4. He says, you adulterer and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy. The enemy. The enemy of God. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You don't want to be God's enemy. It's what to be. In 1 John 2. Are you here tonight? You are at home. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These are absolutes. In 1 John 5 verse 4, whosoever is born of God, he has overcome the world. So I've overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Is that a prophet? Is that kind of statement? Eh? The faith is what overcomes. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. It's a fight. You are not in the world to mix with the world. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't mold yourself. Don't fit. Don't be like water. You take the shape of everything you are inside. If I'm among unbelievers, now just take the shape. You stand as light. Amen. You stand as light. You stand as a war. Every time you tell yourself, it's war. It's a fight. Always recognize it. That it's a fight. You must be standing for something. You must not fear the opposition. You have overcome the world. Amen. John told the church, he said, I write unto you little children because you have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So I have overcome the world. You fight daily. Fights daily. In Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It's always, you have to turn your back. I love that old song. The cross before me, the world behind me. Amen. Don't conform. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. Don't be lost in the battle. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. So we said the first fight will be a fight against the world. The second fight, you will fight the devil. Amen? Come on, which eyes are you fight? Aha. Uh-huh. Peter says, he's like a roaring lion. First Peter chapter 5. Looking for whom to devour. But glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Come on. I said Jesus is Lord. Amen. At war. We are in such... I grew up in a conservative background. And so I don't believe to prayers. In fact, the first time I came and someone was laughing at a particular church. I was, yeah. I was praying and he was saying, They are praying against darkness and everything. And he says, no.
No, we've got victory. Yeah, glory. But wow. If there's someone that will tell you about the victory we have in Christ, I'm the one. I will tell you. I will teach you for 24 hours straight on the victory we have in Christ. But when we are done, I will tell you, let's pray. Amen. It's a serious war. You fight the devil. He is moving around like a roaring lion. An unseen enemy is close to you every day. We have believers who are oppressed of the devil. You're oppressed. Suddenly you just don't feel like doing this one. Suddenly you find yourself fighting. You are the coolest person on earth. Why are you fighting? I was teaching Roshola. What was that? Huh? Yes, you are smiling. You know, I didn't call him to teach him. He just came to my place, and when you're in the pastor's place, what do you want to be gisting about? After Arsenal, you gisting about. Arsenal, look at Arsenal. That's my club. Arsenal, fight. Amen. You know, so I was telling him, I said, you look at what Jesus said about the parable. Not the parable. The boy they brought to Jesus. He said, oftentimes he cast him into the fire, into the water. Have you? The ones the disciples did not deliver. They oftentimes cast him in fire and water. Exactly a physical demonstration of how demons work. Extremes. When you see extremes, someone who is cold today and tomorrow is hot, that is a demonic oppression. When you see someone who is bipolar, they call it bipolar, it's a lie. That's demonic. Throws him into two worlds. You know, say, you know, the devil, the devil is not in my league. I don't need devil. I just say glory. Glory, you know, look over by David White. You stand daily to fight. Amen. You stand daily to fight. In Luke 22, Jesus told Peter, he says, this is Peter, the one in part of the people that said, demons were so to us through your name. Oh, he's part of the people that Jesus said, because of what you have done, I see Satan fall. Jesus said, Satan desires to sit you like meat. After all of those things. I mean, if there's someone that said that should not come close, it's people that are around Jesus. You know how many years we are away from Jesus? You know how many years Goegin is away from Jesus? This one is seeing Jesus every day. Jesus said, Satan desires to sit you like this. So I have prayed for you. So prayer is how you stand. After Paul says, put on the whole armor of God and everything, that is praying always. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching unto with all perseverance to fight against the devil. Are you with me? Fight against the devil in your ministry. You fight against the devil in your family. You fight against the devil in your career. Amen. Stand against the devil. Nobody has the helper and runs inside. You stand strong. Is that clear? Fight against the devil. It's running to and fro. It's a battle. You deal with him in prayer. You watch. What is it? It's not that serious now. Oh. You stand against the devil. Don't let him deceive you that it's not that serious. It's not against the whole time. It's probably 2 years now. but all these prayers, you know, I don't have an issue with it. What is prayers? Do they pray it in Europe? You know, I don't have an issue. You think they know which continent you are in? You think we are talking about poverty? And you have money, does not mean the devil is not fighting you. You stand daily. Amen. His first mission is to thwart everything God has in plan for you. And sometimes that to thwart it means you'll be famous. So don't take fame and money and everything as, oh, God is with someone. No. Are you with me? I have a friend who is very famous. One of my famous friends. Very famous. And I can tell you very well. The devil is winning. You probably know him. And I can tell you very well. Myself and Eva, I was still talking about it today. And I was jeeping him. So this is the one we need to pray together. He has money now. He has everything. But he himself knows he's losing the battle. You stand against the devil. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he comes when men sleep. While men slept. He said, he will come. Yes, among the wheat. He uproot the wheat. He doesn't uproot the wheat. He will sow something else. He doesn't tell you, don't go to church. What he will say is it not too much? All this prayer, God said, all this. Yeah?
well, left me. You just know things. Yeah, you are thinking. You are thinking you are being logical. But you are not like that when you are praying. When you are full of fire, you are not logical. Sometimes I ask myself, where does this logic come from? Not every intelligence is from God. Not every good thinking, as it were. Not every deep thinking comes from God. Growing up, I used to be a very curious thinker. Probably you see it in the way I teach. What has not happened before? I would just start thinking, okay, why is this one, this one? And don't touch on me. You've got to walk in the light. You've got to walk in the light. Amen. He will sow tears among. He said, when the enemy comes, while men slept, he will sow tears among the wheat. See, and they will grow together. You must ask yourself, am I seeing tears in my work? It's time to fight the devil. That's how you walk out your salvation. What deed you must do? What kill you must kill? Is that clear? What the total ought, you must ought. Hallelujah. What the total did not spare, you must not spare. Every is a fight. I was listening to one of the teachings of Brock Billy some years ago, 7-8 years ago. And he kept echoing it. He said, the devil is real. You know his voice. The devil is real. He said, some people not fight the devil, you don't know. Go and ask. He said, but I'm not sick now. Everything is just pepperoni for me. There's something like that. That's not how the devil works. He's an experienced devil. He has been around for a while. That's how it works. Was the devil not in Herod? Yet he was the king. You think his own is the king. He has everything. He has all life wants to offer. Yet, he's, the devil is winning on his life. He stands in prayer. Is that clear? I oppose every evil work of darkness. I stand against every wile of the enemy. I stand against every plan. I thwart his hold on my emotions. I destroy his hold. Amen. That's how to pray. When you are done, you now say glory. We sing glory. Hallelujah. Don't be singing glory when you have not done anything. Fight the devil. Blood, sweat, truth, nails, word. Hallelujah. You fight him. Because that is an experienced devil. Unseen enemy, always close by. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to eternal life. Sometimes you hear things as the devil's voice. Look at Jesus. He just finished preaching. He just finished teaching them about the events of salvation. The work of the soul. He will rise on the third day. Then Peter says, you will not die. Oh, say to sometimes he's speaking in tongues and he's giving words. I'm not saying he's interpreting his tongues. No. Because God has speaking tongues and what will come out from his mouth next is not the interpretation of the tongues. And the devil seeps into conversations. And then something just comes in and I say, well, huh? And that's why you must be sensitive. You know, you are in a believer's meeting and people just look around and blah, blah, blah. No, you're full attention on the Spirit. Amen. Don't do it casually. Peter, he said, you're not going to die. You're not going to Jesus. Shut up, Satan. Satan. You must have to recognize his voice. He's always close by. Yeah. So then they go, one prophet gave me one word. Bode. Is it Bode? No. Bere. Bere is Adam. Bode is not close to Molede. So it's Bere. Where they sell books. Where they sell books. Is it Bere now? They sell books, textbooks. Uh-huh. He gave me one word. And I was that. And as I was listening, I said, this is not God. My mom was jubilant. She said, this is not God. I was young, but I knew it was not God. Years after I passed, I knew. Just like the voice of that old prophet. You must tune. Amen. It is a war. Hallelujah. So the devil is going to employ everything he can. It's a war. Some things will sound like the voice of God. You must calm down. It's a war. I don't like Mount Zion movies. You know, they overestimate everything. The devil. But you watch Netflix, Sugar Rush. You watch that one with a smile. It should look well again now. You don't recognize that it's a war. Being a Christian, true Christianity is a fight. Paul, when he was done, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. That is a Christian.
Then he said, I daily mortify my flesh. That's the third thing you fight. You fight the flesh. I daily kill my body. I put my body under subjection. I daily kill it. When it was done, at the end, I have fought the good fight. That's how to be Christian. You must realize that every day, it's a fight. You set out to read your Bible, but you did not. You lost the fight. You set out to preach that day. And then later, something happened and everything happened. He said it was a friend that came visiting. You lost the fight. I learned that from one of my friends. I went to his house after a long time. Rather than say because he had this door, he said, Emoji, I set out to preach today. Hope you don't mind waiting or you follow me. This one is a friend. I cannot forget. He has shown me how to be Christian. He said, it's that. If we go and come back, or we go and preach together, you are saying, a visitor came around. Hey, Shuni, what is your chest when? That's chest. Check out. I will check up. I begin. Check. Your king is in trouble. It's on the surface. You say it's just a visitor that came. Don't lose the fight. Hallelujah. You set out to pray. You ended up sleeping. You're losing the fight. Work out your salvation. Stay with the help of the total. Draw strength from within. Hallelujah. Pray for me as I close. You fight the flesh. You fight what? The first thing you fight is what? The wall. The second? The third? You fight the flesh. You ask yourself every time, is this the flesh or the spirit? This the flesh or the spirit? This my new decision. This my new found hobby. This my new found passion. Is this God's work? Or the flesh is winning? Is this God's desire? Or the flesh is winning? You must be conscious. We have a new generation that just wants to, people just go to church. You know, they think church is like a social gathering and all that. And the devil is comfortable. Amen. You see it grow. You see it blossom. Because the devil is comfortable with it. As long as you don't fight. As long as you just remain like this. As long as this is how you will remain. Okay. You guys can have everything. But we must stay with God's plan. And fight God's way. And win God's way. Fight the world. Fight those influences. Fight the devil. On your knees. With your words. Early in the morning and late at night. In the noon when you remember again. When I remember, I just say, the devil under my feet. Under my feet. I work in dominion and in victory in Christ today and forever. You must echo that to yourself every time. I'm not moved in the flesh. I don't move in the flesh. My emotions are in the plans and the purpose of God. His plans become my plans. His desires become my desire. My plans don't get successful. His plans get successful. That's a fight. A fight with your words. Sometimes it comes in thoughts. You can do it. You can never do it. You know yourself now. You know how you are. The next thing, what you do? Don't go and sulk in and start to process it. Hey, I know how I am. True. No. I know what I have done. Any time past. No. You fight. Hallelujah. You fight with your words. You fight in prayer. It's a fight. And thanks be to God, it trains our hands to battle. Hallelujah. Fight against the flesh. Turn to Romans 6. I'll show you something. As we close. Romans 6 verse 11. Likewise, You reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto God. For sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now look at chapter 12. Verse 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a fight. Every time there's a motion that can cause you to go against what God has in His word, it is a fight. There is nothing, listen very well, there is nothing normal about depression. There is nothing normal about it. Don't entertain it. There is nothing normal about fear. Don't say it's normal. It happens. No, there is nothing normal about it. There's nothing normal about it. There's nothing normal about addictions. There is nothing normal about it. That's the voice of the devil, to intimidate you and make you used to that position. So you must climb up. I must have the victory in Christ. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And as long as I have breath in me, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. And I'm going to win. Hallelujah. Christians are fighters. You mortify the flesh. That's what kill. That's what kill. Look at Luke 9. These are truths that people don't want to hear. Everything done. Christ has done. That one, done. It is finished. And you don't know that you are the one that is finished. Done. Preaching of the gospel. Done. Prayer. Done. There was a time I taught the unfinished work of Christ. Remember? Abi? The unfinished work of Christ. I will teach it again. Why you did not finish? That is your own to finish. It's part of this part. This one is part of it. You fight. Look at it. In verse 23, can we get to read together, everybody? On this one. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's Jesus talking to you. Let him deny himself. So you fight against flesh, against self. Let him take up his cross. Once and for all. The cross, you take it once and for all. Daily. Every time you open your eyes, it's another day to fight. It's another day to stand against the work of the enemy. It's another day to stand against darkness and declare you are light. It's another day to say, Jesus is the Lord over the nations of the world. It's another day to say, the Lord of Israel is here. The Lord of Jacob is my refuge. He who keeps Israel does not sleep nor slumber. It's another day to say, the Lord is my help. I will fear not what man will do to me. It's another day to stand strong and say boldly, have God the victory. Amen. This series must teach you that. We are in a fight. When you find yourself with the wrong desires, the wrong attitude, the wrong passion, the wrong goals, it's time to fight. Fight. Stay with the seed. That's where the help of God is. Stay with His plan. That's where the help of God is. Isaiah said, he said, there is no help in any other. I am the only God. follow after him, chase after him, and damn the world, damn the devil, damn the flesh, and declare every day of your life that Jesus is Lord. I'll fear what no man can do. I don't fear any man. I'm on the Lord's side. I don't fear any man. I don't entertain the devil and his garbages or fear of whatever. I don't entertain it. I don't give it a room. I must take up my sword. Jesus told Peter, "Hey, you are fighting the wrong fight. Why are you causing all this? You are fighting the wrong fight." Hallelujah. But we do know how to fight. Amen. And our hands are trained, helped to war. In the name of Jesus, we will do what God has called us to do. We will walk as God has called us to work. We will think as He has called us to think. The devil will not have a hold on me. Look what Jesus said. He said, "The priest of this world has come. He has found nothing in me. I fought well. He has found nothing in me." Now at the time he came, he said, "Turn these stones to bread." He says, "You. This is a fight. This is a fight. Is it not written?" That's how to fight back. Amen. He wanted to make him king. I told you, he does not uproot the wheat. He sows tears. He must know how the devil works. He doesn't uproot the wheat. He doesn't uproot the good things. He doesn't tell you church is bad. You will, by then you would have found out that this is the devil's voice. How can you tell me that I should not go to church? No. He just tells you, is the honor not too much? Is the honor not too much? That's what he just tells you. All this ma sa. Is it not too much? Just tell me. All this Bible. In this church, they don't teach you real things. Real things. Ask what are real things. How to find B. That's the real thing. And in your head, you are logical. You are the most intelligent person. You're losing a fight. But you are winners. By the power of God, you are strengthened. You are wise enough to recognize what the Lord is doing. Your spiritual faculties are sharpened. Your prayer life is better to wage war and to stand firm. Pray for yourself tonight. It's a fight. You know yourself better. I'm not going to entertain it anymore. I'm not going to take it as normal anymore. Fight! Jesus told Peter, "The devil has desire to sift you like wheat. He wants to take you like this. I have prayed. Prayer is how we do it. Oh yeah. I don't want it. I stand a warrior in the Yasha, in the Alpha. I need to create God says the Lord of hosts. 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 Bringing every thought in obedience to Christ. Bringing every thought in obedience to Christ. Pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Oh, obedience to Christ. My thoughts are in obedience to Christ. My life in obedience to Christ. My desires, my goals, my dreams, my ambitions, in obedience to the Lord of hosts, the one who doesn't lose battles. You train my hands to war, Lord. You train my tongue to fight. Never be defeated. I'll never be defeated. In my walk of faith, in my work of faith, I will never be defeated. I will never succumb. I will never throw in the towel. I will never give up. Victory is mine. The Lord of hosts is my refuge. Isaiah said, who is this that comes from Edom with a spent garment on Bozrah? He is the Lord of hosts. See him shining in the splendor of his glory. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of hosts. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts. You are the Lord of hosts. I walk in your victory. My spiritual sensitivity is sharpened to walk in the light. In your light. I don't lose. As lightning in the sky, I always see Satan fall. In my ministry, you will fall. In my life, you will fall. Is it out of place? Is that the wall? In my life, you will fall. My emotions, my thoughts, he is falling. He is falling. I stand before you in Christ. I stand before you in Christ. Oh yes, tonight I believe and receive victory by the power of God. I stop the mouth of lions by faith. I stop two nations by faith. As I preach and teach, victory is mine. New goals, new desires, Lord. New desires, Lord. Everything that the Father has not planted, that the Father has not planted in my life, every thought that God has not planted, every desire that God has not planted, every ambition that he has not planted, every plan, Lord God Jesus, Lord God Jesus, I am walking in victory. In your strength we go, we will never know defeat. I'll never know defeat. I'm God's battle axe. I'm God's battle axe. I'm walking in victory. I'm walking in victory. I'm walking in his power. In the great power of God. I'm walking in the mighty power of God. The exceeding greatness of his power. One minute more. Pray for yourself. You know yourself. Daily, I fight against the flesh. Those repetitive desires that I don't want, that want to become part of my life, Lord God Jesus, I am your power and legend. Lord God Jesus, every stranger in this body, every stranger in this head, every stranger in my thoughts, every stranger in my thoughts, every stranger in my head, every stranger in my body, every stranger in my desires, Lord God, yes. Come out with fear. The Lord of hosts is here. The Lord of hosts is here. He is the Lord strong and mighty. I will not entertain you any longer. There's no room for you. The battle is lost. From henceforth, I know how to fight. And I fight well. I know how to fight. I know to battle. I know to war. I know to battle. As I preach and teach, I'm beginning from victory. Hallelujah. Leave those hands and bless the Father this evening. Just give Him praise. We walk in victory. Come on.